Edward, this week? Sorry, say again.
Did I hear that you said you were up in Floodwood, New York this week?
Absolutely. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, at a ball.
I was in Fish Creek Ponds the 22nd through the 29th.
Are you in Fish Creek? Okay. Very nice. You just take a campground there. Did you have some private accommodations over by Fish Creek?
No, I rent a trailer from Adirondack, Adirondack Camper and have it delivered to a site there. And they drop it off, set it up, and then they come and get it when I'm gone. I threw up a couple antennas. I talked to the Barra group during their portable day and Steve a couple times. He had helped me out during the week. Had a ball.
Oh, that's lovely. They take care of the reservations for the site on Fish Creek. And so are you, were you on the creek itself, you know, where it narrows out?
No, I stay over, we used to call it Breezy Point. As you come down out of Floodwood through Coppers into under the bridge by the Fish Creek campgrounds where you where the ramp is for boats, it would be on the right-hand shore, probably 10 or 12 sites down.
I know it well. I paddled by there last August. July. It's awesome. I go through there every time. So did you go over to Donaldson's and get yourself some ice cream?
And then I went over to Hickox and I bought some wood and some other stuff. And I had my canoe with me, so I went up up Fish Creek for a while, and then it was like glass the entire week. And then I found out that the beaver dam between where Hickox is and Follinsby Clear Pond was open, so I paddled through the creek up into Follinsby for a few hours and paddled around there and then paddled back.
Yeah, we were in Follinsby. Isn't Follinsby wonderful? There's not a thing on it except for like one cabin when you come out on the left side. There's one cabin on Follinsby.
There's actually a lean-to as part of the canoe trail that goes through there. Guys that were camping about two sites down from me spent the night out in that lean-to.
Yeah, I know it well. There's a bunch of lean-tos in that area of the world, and they're all just lovely. Yep. We stayed in them all. We actually got our favorite sites every day of our trek, which was kind of amazing. So whether it was a lean-to site or a tent site, didn't matter. We got Indian Point, and we got the one that's right on the end. We got Buck Island, the best spot on Buck Island. I mean, on and on. I mean, we were just so lucky this year. And you know what it was? We had a group of guys who would get up early, paddle all morning, or, you know, early morning, and, you know, eat their breakfast in the canoe, literally. And that just made things a whole lot easier. It was just a good group of kids and adults, too. So we had quite a nice group. I really had a very pleasurable experience with the summer. And then, of course, we were back there for a work weekend last weekend. And we activated W2FMR. And so if you're going to do that next year, I will give you a carnet, as it were, to go operate W2FMR from up there and give out some kudos if you'd like.
Yeah, that sounds good. I used to do the, before I had my own canoe, I'd rent over in Hickox, bring a couple friends with me, and would put in Rollins and paddle through to the carry from Rollins into Floodwood, then Floodwood back down to our campsite, and then go up and get the car that we left back up in Rollins. So we used to do that all of the time. Yeah, I'm trying to make it an annual thing. I missed last year. I was up there the year before on the exact same site. I went up a week early. Normally I'm there the first week in October just before Columbus Day, but the weather was just perfect the entire week that I was up there. Back to you.
Yeah, we had that lucky too. I mean, we had one afternoon where it rained, and we were very lucky with that because we knew it was going to rain. We were watching know the weather forecast, etc. So we had done paddling. We got to you know where the swing is on Upper Saranac?
The swing on Upper Saranac? No. I know Chapel Island. I know a few of the islands. I know where the Bartlett Carry is. I don't know where the swing is.
Oh, yeah. Bartlett Carry, Indian Carry. Okay, so there's, what do you call it? There's a rope swing hanging off of on the east side of the lake on one of the little pinnacles where it kind of just reaches east. There's a rope swing. You paddle a little further, and then there's a really lovely lean-to. So what we did was we paddled. We were coming from the south. I forget where we're coming from. But came up through the hourglass and then up into the upper part of the lake. And, you know, we passed Eagle Island, all that good stuff, and all those other little islands that are after Eagle Island on the east side of the lake. And then went out down that one side, you know, tentacle of the lake, and got in our lean-to about 11 o'clock in the morning. We had been paddling since about maybe 7, you know, with a break, but we paddled since 7, and we got our lean-to, and the lean-to set back from the water line, and it was just heavily. So we had our tent set up, we had a tarp set up, we had lean-to, and we weathered the storm a little bit for a short while, and we did very well with that. We really did.
Well, on the drive up, we can go this past Monday. One of the rest stops on the thruway, I pulled over to get some more coffee, and walked past the pickup truck with a hamstick in the back, and the guy was N7UN, November 7, uniform November, and when I came back out, and I was just checking the tie downs on the canoe, he came out, so we chatted for a little bit. He was up doing a soda activation near Key Valley, and then this past weekend, while I was operating, I picked up a couple other soda operations that were going on, and then he came on the air and I chatted. He was already back home, but his name is Guy. He said he used to be a member of Barrett from Newfoundland or West Milford. Do you know that call?
WI2W. Yes, very well. Go ahead. That's Guy Hamblin, N7UN. Guy was instrumental in getting SOTA launched in this country about 4 years ago. He did a lot of the groundwork. He's a really bright guy, and he put in a ton of effort, and the program has really taken off in the last few years. It's remarkable how amazing. I mean, it's amazing how it's taken off around the world. As a sidebar, the guys that organized it in England had such foresight that the whole program has stayed together. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, Guy is a celebrity in the soda world for sure. So you tripped over a really nice guy. In fact, when I was just getting started in soda, he offered to do a joint activation with me. I told him it wasn't necessary. I knew, you know, I could figure it out. But he was he bent over backwards to make himself helpful. So Guy is a really nice guy.
Yeah, he really is. I think I forgot what I was, working on with him at various times. I think it was packet radio stuff like 30 years ago. He was new to the area from the West Coast. He works, he either works or worked for UPS. I think he still works for UPS, doesn't he?
He's retired, Gordon. And Rachel knew him because Rachel worked at UPS. So
He retired and he's living his dream, which was to travel the world and activate soda beans. He's been all over this country that I know of, down in the Caribbean, and not too many soda beans in the Caribbean, but I know he's operated down there. Anyway, he's retired and having fun.
72JK.
Go ahead, Don.
I remember the guy was, he was back in, back when we were meeting at the Elks Club in Wilford, that's when he was a member of BARA. And he's also quite an instrument in the QRP field. And at one point in time, I know he was doing bicycle mobiles, where they would be on bicycles with a solar panel, charging the batteries while they're riding. And then when they get to their destination, they take their solar charge batteries and set up the antenna on the radio with the QRP ring. QRP quarterly guy, I guess he's from that era. Back to that.
QVP model.
Very good. I didn't realize that he was. Well, actually, I do remember the second QRP. Yeah, it's really kind of neat. But Guy is just a really smart person. And apparently, in the driveway, in low power, I'm taking out Fios to one of our set top boxes. I have to test that. It's the NHL channel. That's not acceptable. Anyway, you guys carry on. I got to get inside anyway. I'm glad you ran into Guy Hamblin. He's a great guy. You can do far worse on humanity, too. He's just a nice person. So 7-3 and be well, guys. I gotta run. AC2GI and the group W2TGT.
Queen Baker Victor Mobile.
Gold Coast, friend of round table. KGQ meeting, you got it. W2TGT clear.
Just got in here. Who are you talking about? What guy? What's his call? What's his call, Glenn?
November 7, uniform November.
I guess I worked them before, it sounds to me. Okay. I'm just listening, came in a little late. My name is Joel on the Garden State Parkway, K2QBV Mobile.
All right, guys, I am going QRT, so everybody have a good night. EC2GI, I'll be clear.
Yeah, WI2W, going to pull a switch too. Good night.
Guess I got in here just in time.
To you on the parkway. I'm in River Edge, New Jersey. Over.
Let me hook up with you, but I did get where am I? River Rose? Maybe that's not right. Let's see. Look at the next sign as it's coming up here. That exit's every few blocks, I think. I'm at exit 156, going north on the Garden State.
Yeah, okay. Like I said, a little south there. I'm about exit 162 or something. About the Route 4 east of 17, I think it's where I am.
Who's the other station trying to come in? It's not, okay. See, I live in Spring Valley, New York. Had the radio out of the car for 4 months. Took a long time to fix the car. So I didn't have a radio with the car for just about 4 months. Back to you. What's your name?
My name is Don. Yeah, I think you said your name was Joel. Is that correct?
That's right. Second day back on 2 meters. That is the name, J-O-E-L.
Yeah, I think I remember you from back when I moved to work. I used to go for a big trip of 3.5 miles from River Edge down to Hackensack, where I worked back and forth before 8 o'clock and a little after 5 o'clock in the evenings, in the summer night repeater. I was on most of the time.
Okay, well. I've operated mobile with a 706 Mark II, and when I sold my other car, I decided I wouldn't put the 706 back out of 12 years. So it's in the house, I'm going to sell it. And I bought an FT, I don't remember what this is, it's not a 990, it's a 2 meter and 440 radio. And I have a Mirage amplifier, I'm just coming up to Saddleburg.
Yeah, okay, I'm not too familiar with VHF radios. I know that the VHF radios are the 896 and the MT-896, 897 are HF radios that have 2 meters and 440 on far from being visible, having those bands as well as the chest. So the exit from Paramus, traffic centers are near with this area. There's the Bandstorm Park, where there's a county park, side of Paramus, our river edge as well. It's about four, and that island about a couple hundred yards east of that location.
Okay, well, this radio is a 2 meter and 440. I did not put the long band radio back in the car, which is 706 Mark II. I went to a smaller car. The other car I had was big. I put the antenna on the roof, the big antenna, and this one's small, so I just have 2 meters in. And now I'm up to 160, so I'm getting a little closer to you.
Yeah, well, I used to have a magnet. I did have a magnet. My first antenna was a 5/8 magnet. At the time, I had a station wagon. It was a pain in the neck. I was putting it in the garage. I had to lay the thing down and snap it to the crossbar on the roof rack, so it laid flat with the car in the garage. The next morning, I'd come out of the garage, put it in the reverse, and set the thing up again. Then I get where I work and take the thing out of the car, put it inside the car, and take my just using a handheld take that to work with me because I didn't want anything valuable in the car. That was a pain, so I finally made a 19-inch whip that attached to the roof rack. So I could get in and out of the garage without having to fold the antenna down. It was just a wood rod and a piece of brass that I got and taped to the roof rack. That worked quite well, and I didn't have any problems with it. I just spent some to get lost in some money. I just think it was a stealing. Back to you.
Okay. Well, I had a 2 meter antenna I put on this car, and it wasn't clear the garage door. So the side of the 2 meter antenna was a little too high. So this is a 2 meter and 440, and it's lower. This, and I think the other was 5/8, just a half. But I'm running 110, 120 watts, so it made up the difference. Yes, I know it was a pain. I used to do with it too. Now, I had a big antenna. I had a high Sierra screwdriver on it. I wasn't going into too many places. I couldn't even go under some bridges. But all the years I had it, I know what bridge I could go under and what parkway. Some places I got surprised, but most of the times I knew.
Close to 5/8, that I never really had any problems going to buildings and anything with it, but yet center loaded whip is 8 foot wheel, center loaded whip, a master whip. He had a second the AM radio that he had a Harvey Wells AM transmitter in the trunk of the car, got a tri-band converter, and he could tow brick. He used having dynamo under the hood for high voltage power. Right along, and you every once in a while, bong bong, you'd hear that thing hit a low branch. Looking at kind of signs of change. Finally, got a new car and then never put the rig back in there. I got a 7050 at Aljo, so I'll be chatting with you and have a good trip the rest of the way home. This is W2K, back to you.
Okay, well, I've been on the
59
years. I had a DM35 dynamotor. It was great to hear it come wind up with my Melty LMAC AF67. So then I built a transistor power supply, 500 volts and 200 mils, something. I don't forget what it was, but 500 volts. So I've been through it. I came on when I was an AM. They didn't have a sideband when I came on. See you again, K2QBV Mobile.
Good talking to you. 73, K2QBV Mobile, W2JK will be on the letter tonight.
Hey, and I know K2JK is a friend of mine. See ya.
N2JDH disconnected. WA2UMP disconnected.
2, BLR listening.
Got so much stuff on my mind, I guess it's my subconscious or something like that.
All right, I'm back at the shop. We'll catch you from inside. N1LU, KD2, BOR.
N1LU, mobile. Monday, you mind if I come by Monday?
For what?
Oh, two things. For the antenna. I'll pick that up, get that out of your way. And I have some sort of a fluid leak. I don't know if it's oil or what. On my garage floor, what I'm going to do today when I get home, I'm going to bring a piece of white cardboard that we have at work with me. I'm going to park on it. I leave the car in the garage all weekend. And then Monday morning when I get up and I pull out, I'll take a look at it. See how bad it's leaking. I'll take a picture so you can see. Maybe you can tell from the color of it what it is.
Well, don't go crazy with that. Because remember the last time you were here, I found some oil leak when I was doing the oil change, and I thought maybe it was a filter from the last time or something. But the last time you were here, we put a new filter on, and of course I make sure the drain plug's nice and tight. Yeah, you come by Monday. We'll throw it up and see what it looks like.
Very good. Well, that's what I'm not sure of, if that's oil from before or new. So that's why I want to park on the cardboard, see what it does over the 2 days.
Don't bother. If it's leaking, I'll say it, because I wiped everything off the last time you were here. So don't go through that garbage. I'll just put it up in the air.
Okay, very good. I figure I'll pick up that antenna while I'm there, too. Get it out of the way.
I know. Me and Willie P are both nuts. When the net was on last night, me and Willie P started texting back and forth to each other, and then I got tired of texting. I finally called him.
Why is that? Was anything going on?
Yeah, I'll talk to you later on the other when you get closer.
Yeah, okay. That shouldn't be too long. Where am I now? I'm on 287, heading toward the Tappan Zee. They said it was okay at the George, but I didn't want to take a chance. It's Friday. I don't really feel like getting stuck in traffic. I got a nice early day today. I can get out. So, I just want it to be a nice, smooth transition to work.
Yeah, and plus today is Friday.
Yeah, hallelujah. Got my son coming up today from Ryder with his roommate. They're going to see a play locally. And then Saturday we're going to bring them back.
Yeah, very good. How's he getting up here, by train, or is the other person's family picking him up?
The other person's family's picking him up. I told my wife, try to work it out that I can pick him up because I can go right from work, but the other people want to pick him up, and so we'll bring them back.
Yeah, very good. Then you get some cheap New Jersey gas in your wife's truck.
Boy, I hate getting coffee at that Dunkin' Donuts this time of the morning. It's a leftover pot. You know, it's got that bitter, burnt taste to it, like it's been, on heat for all day. But if I go to the other place, I got to make a U-turn, sort of, and head back like I'm going home to get on 287.
I am not fond of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I don't care if they make the pot fresh. My girlfriend's into that stuff. She's got the Dunkin' Donuts Keurig cups at home. I'll drink that if I have to, but if she's got the regular... whatever blend she gets from West Mountain, whatever the heck you call it, I don't know. I'll drink that first. I'm not a connoisseur of the Dunkin' Donuts, and plus I think they're very expensive.
Green Mountain Coffee Roasters. We actually went up to Vermont, and that's when we got turned on to them. Went to one of their flagship stores. I like them a lot. That's what the mobile station has, is the Green Mountain Coffee.
Couldn't think of a name yet. The nail on the head. Green Mountain actually owns Keurig.
Do they really? I never realized that.
Well, that's what Debbie told me, so if I can only go by her, she's the coffee connoisseur, you know, especially after working in offices our whole life. I think the first thing they plan on when they get into work is getting a cup of coffee. I guess the same as we do.
Yeah, I don't even know if it revives me or anything. It's just so habit-forming. You know, something that I do every day, or at least, I'd say every day. You know, in the morning, have a cup of coffee to get you going, get you motivated for the day. But this will be it, this coffee that I get now. I've cut back considerably on coffee. Now I'll switch to green tea when I get to work.
N1LU, KD2BOR. I used to drink a lot of tea, but the only way I drink my tea now is iced tea.
Yeah, I even have tea on the weekends. You know, in the morning I'll have a cup of coffee. At the house, we, you know, set the pot to come on. We had make 8 cups. You never actually get 8 real cups out of it. I don't know what the hell the setting is for, but we'll have that, and then we'll go and get our muffin. My wife will get another coffee, and I'll get a tea. That'll be our breakfast, and sometimes that holds us over till an early dinner. Or we'll have lunch out, a little bite to eat, and then have a later dinner. Sometimes we only eat 2 meals a day on the weekend.
And that's about all I eat on the weekend is 2 meals, but, you know, I eat in between. I'm like a garbone lately.
Yeah, I'm surprised with the procedure you went through. What'd you have? Did you have plaque covering up, clogging up your veins, or were they just collapsed? Because that's quite a breakfast you have at 6 o'clock in the morning, out on the back deck cooking, or out in the backyard cooking those sausages up.
Yeah, I was blocked up from plaque, but it wasn't from food. It was from all the years of smoking. I saw my cardiologist yesterday. He said, you better not ever do that anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't realize smoking did that to you. But it was only food that clogged your arteries, you know, fats. Now, what kind of sausages do you usually cook when I talk to you or early in the morning on a Sunday?
Italian hot sausage. The brand starts with PR, Primero, or whatever it is. That's a ritual of mine. I've been doing that for years. But you got to realize one thing, Charlie. I start cooking that sausage maybe at about 6:45, 7 in the morning, but you don't realize I've been up sometimes for 6-7 hours already. Yeah, I ran mine on 500, I think, too, when I had it on the TS-850.
think that's what you told me to put it on, and that's where I ran it.
Yeah, I don't know what occasion people would run it higher than that, but it did sound better on the 500 ohm. So hopefully he'll leave it there. It's a nice sounding radio. Very cool radio, too. And he's got that 841. I've got a save search in eBay. And I'm sure what'll happen, one will pop up when I haven't got a penny to my name.
That's usually the way. I'm not in a position to be buying anything myself lately anyway. I wanted to get that Comet 220 antenna, but that's going to be down the road.
Yeah, I'm just going to hold off. I got real close to selling my DHF-6 just to get that 220 rig, and I'm just going to hold off until January. By then, maybe there'll be another 742 or something available. Maybe I'll spring for one of those. So we'll see what happens, but I'm going to try to bide my time and wait till January. That's not that far off. And like I said, I'll bring this rig in the 220 in the house on a Friday, use it over the weekend, and then be happy with that.
The guy on eBay right now, got a TM-642, 2 meter 220, 440, tri-bander, loaded, never used mobile, saying close to mint. Looks like it's got all kinds of stuff with it. Two microphones, triplexer. He's got so much stuff here, I don't even know. I didn't read the whole thing yet. $650, our best offer.
Yeah, believe me, I've looked at that one a couple of times. If you look close at it, though, I wouldn't consider that mint.
No, I've already done that. I found a 942 on eBay this morning, but I can't find it again. But that one only had 2 meters, 440, and something else in it that it came with, a 1200 or something like that. But then you'd have to go out and try to find a 220 module, and I've seen them going for 200 and change when they're out there.
Yeah, the other one was probably, 1.2 gigahertz or something, or 1200 megahertz, or I know what you're talking about. I don't know how popular that band is. I don't know anybody that's on it, really. No, I want one with 220. Yeah, those 742s, you had a choice of, I think, three bands, 220, 6, and 1.2 gigahertz.
I think you can get 10 meters, too.
Maybe. You might be right.
This guy is saying he's got a complete remote head kit, OEM, no aftermarket junk, brand new power cable, three speakers. Oh my God, he's got a whole package here.
The separation kit is certainly attractive. I don't need three more speakers. I got speakers coming out by Yahoo. I hate when people add stuff to a deal just to try to bring the price up when it's stuff you don't really need. Like three speakers or a power supply or something. You know, if I need a power supply, I'll look for a power supply. I won't look for a radio that has a power supply being sold with it. You know, just adds to the shipping as well.
I also don't understand why somebody who has six pictures up here of the radio showing everything but does not have the radio lit up. I think that is that's ridiculous.
Yes, absolutely. Makes you think they're hiding something, like some of the segments are out or something on the display. Yeah, no, I wouldn't buy a radio with it. I couldn't see it lit up.
He even said in his advertisement it's going to come with tamper stickers on it before he ships it, you know, so you don't mess with it. If you do, you own it.
I didn't read the whole description. I didn't read that part, but... Yeah, I can understand that, but I don't know. When a guy says mint and it's not mint, that makes me a little nervous, so, you know, be honest about what you're selling.
Yeah, I don't know if it's his camera or what. I can see in the back of the radio and heat sink there's a little bit of a mark, but I don't know. This picture's kind of fuzzy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, this is on eBay?
Yep.
Yeah, I think when I looked at it with that magnification, that's a neat feature they have. It looked kind of dusty. And, you know, like it had some, you know, light crud on it. And that's, you know, that's not exactly what I consider mint. Mint is, you know, looks like it just came out of the box.
What would make the deal even more attractive is having the original box with all the packing and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd probably, if I had the money, I'd probably offer him five. See if he'd take that.
I don't know if that guy's gonna budge on five when he's asking $650 plus $15 shipping. Coming up soon, as soon as you get the courage to make an appointment.
Well, I have a feeling that this guy, when I see him, is going to say, all right, next thing we got to do is schedule you for a colonoscopy.
Oh, yeah, he's probably going to ask you when you had your last one. And I don't think he cares about when you had your last one since your age factor, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I don't know if any of my records are still around. The guy that did my last one retired. I don't know what he did with my records.
Gone. You could have gotten the records. If you knew when he was retiring, you probably could have gotten your records from him, but they're probably history.
Well, I know. I'm pretty sure his secretary went to another gastroenterologist. It might have been a partner of his or something, so that guy may have my records. I'm not sure. But I haven't seen him yet. A girl that my wife works with used to go to the same guy that I went to. And when she retired, she went to this new guy. And I've been meaning to call and make an appointment and see if they had my records, but I never got around to it. In fact, I got to find out his name. I got to tell my wife to find out what this guy's name is in case the doctor asks me who I want to go to. He may know who took over my doctor's practice. So we'll see.
I saw my cardiologist yesterday. We were talking. First thing he said to me when he walked in the room, he says, how you feel? I said, I feel great. I'm ready to do the marathon. He inspected the incisions and took my blood pressure. He said, there's no need for blood work. You had all that stuff just done in the hospital and before when you came to see me for the pre-op. But I asked him, I said, not for nothing, doc. I said, you know this surgeon for a long time. You always worked with him. I said, how old was that surgeon? Because Rocky's 70-something years old.
I know some guys that are 70 and in pretty good shape, but, you know, your hands start to tremble and stuff the older you get. I guess this guy's in pretty good shape to be able to still do surgery, but you would think at some point in time they got to retire. You know, it's not like he's mowing my lawn or anything.
That was pretty good. I asked my doctor yesterday, I said, Doc, I said, that old building on the corner of Central Avenue and High Street, it was built in 1888. He says, Rocky, that's your question. You were born in that building.
I've never seen the hospital where I was born. I was born in Queens, believe it or not, St. Albans Naval Hospital, Queens, New York. And then as soon as I was born, you know, my mother went out. She went there because that was the nearest naval hospital at the time. She was living out in Sag Harbor. And as soon as I was born, after, I guess, 3 days, back then you could stay in the hospital for a couple of days after you gave birth, and she took me home to Sag Harbor. I was there until I was 17.
And one, tell you, KD2BOR. Yeah, I was kind of looking at that old hospital. I just had to ask him that question. He says, yeah, you were born there, and you had your tonsils out in that hospital.
And by 1 second. Where the hell am I going? I guess most of these lanes closed. I don't want to go on the George Washington Bridge. I want to get on the 46.
Yeah, I guess that would be what you want to do.
Oops. I may have made a mistake. God damn it. Stand by, Rock.
Hey, do what you gotta do. KD2BOR. Let's take a shot. WA2ZOZ, KD2BOR.
WA2ZOZ.
Hey, good morning, Don. I had a feeling you might be lurking in the background there. How you doing?
Okay. I was at the computer table here. And I did a system scan, and I have a speedy PC program, and there was 82 discrepancies, things that should be erased from the hard drive, and just hit the enter button, and it's removing them now.
Yeah, very good. Where you been hiding lately? Still working on your apartment?
Yeah, all I have to do now is put up some curtains in the bedroom. I already cleaned all the windows in the place with Windex. Cleaned the frames, the window frames, aluminum. And all I have to do now, as I say, is put up some curtains and eventually get a new mattress.
Very good. Let's see if Charlie got back on track there. N1OU, KD2BOR.
No, you guys are going to have to pick it up. I ended up going over to George. This blows big time. Now I got to find a way to turn around. I'll give you a call when I'm straightened out. N1OU, clear.
All right, very good. KD2BOR.
Okay, let me see if I have it. All right, Charlie, talk to you. You get down by the George. I still didn't put the J-pole back online yet. Well, Rock, there's one female bartender that I know, and she got really friendly, and I have a hunch I'll probably be taking her out.
That's not the same place that your other friend is from, is it?
She doesn't work there, no. She doesn't work there, but she came in yesterday, came and sat next to me, and started holding my hand and all that stuff. So the other one, well, they're friends. But the other one, I don't think she liked it too much.
Oh, wow. Be careful, Don. Don't make no waves.
Yeah, I could be a little bit slutty like I used to be. But I know what to watch out for now. I went through the mill. Not going to do it again. I'm back.
Okay, very good. I didn't key up right away. Looks like the band's opening a little bit. I just caught wind of that CDI repeater. Get up, Joe.
You're on. All right, well, luckily I was able to get going in the other direction fairly easily, but I ended up having to pay the goddamn toll. Palisades, they don't have that thing coned off correctly, and it screwed me up. I ended up going over to George, Jesus Christ. But, and that's like $9. I wonder if I can call them up and explain to them that I made a bad turn and ended up having to turn around again. I guess they don't really care. Ed Rock.
That's worth a shot, Jolly. They can tell by the records that you you drive this thing every day. I wouldn't hesitate to call them. You never know.
Yeah, it's worth a shot, like you said. They'll see that I came over the Tappan Zee. And, you know, they know my route. They know that I don't go over the...